Welcome to the 247th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Thank you for listening. I hope that everyone is healthy and COVID-19 free. I wanted to do a short podcast earlier in the week because usually I put them out Friday or Saturday, but this Saturday we're having our live audio wellness conference. It'll begin Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We're having Pam Popper, Addie Delaney Meinrich, Karen Hartglass, and myself speak. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what I'm going to be speaking about today and kind of associate it with what's going on. But I think it's a great time. You know, people are still self-quarantining a little bit. You'll be inside. It's a nice time to take time out and listen to an audio conference. We'll take a lunch break so you can have your own plant-based lunch at home. You can even share on Instagram and tag me with what you're eating for your conference lunch. That would be really, really cool. We're going to send out the recipes that we would have had at our live conference so that you'll be able to make for yourself what we would have had for breakfast and lunch. We're also going to send out the slides for Dr. Popper's talk, my talk, and Addie's talk. So you'll get to follow along with those during the conference. So I think it'll be really, really cool. So as my usual update for the week, again, my Asheville weekend was canceled, like everybody else's, you know, my marathon weekend. So we were supposed to do a 13.1 race on Saturday and a 26.2 run on Sunday. So we decided to do them in good old Port Charlotte, Florida on our usual route. A lot hotter here than it is in Asheville. So we did them nice and kind of slow and easy. It was more of just getting the miles in as two good training runs as opposed to trying to race them. I have to admit that I'm having a little bit of a hip issue right now. I think it's some psoas tightness, maybe a little overuse from doing, several events back to back. So I wasn't sure how it was actually going to go. The plan was to do 13.1 on Saturday and see how I felt. I always start my runs with the dogs, and we do a couple miles with each of them. And so that's what we really did on both days. We started earlier on Sunday because of the heat, but ended up doing the half, you know, halfway point was about the same. But for the 13.1 miles here in Port Charlotte, we did a couple big loops and hydrated with water. There's a couple parks that we run to, so there was water to fill up. You don't have to worry about contaminated water sources with COVID-19. You know, we used our elbows for turning the water on. There's one park that actually has the filtered water, which is great. Fueled with some Bonk Chews both days. I think I did Bonk Chews and one gel on Saturday. And before the run on Saturday morning, I do a vegan. It's from the Maple Tap people, a little waffle, and a cup of coffee, and that's what I hit the road with. And actually hit the road with that both days. About an hour into running, on the marathon, I started my nutrition again, Bonk Chews, and then went to gels. So Saturday, it worked out pretty good. Again, we finished at around 11 o'clock. It was in the 80s, but not too awful bad because we only ran for, it was 2 hours and 43 minutes. So we really did some sightseeing, didn't stop the watch when we stopped to look at trees or stopped at the park to get water or whatever. So we didn't push it at all. Sunday, we were a little bit more focused on getting it done since it was going to take longer. It did get really hot. It got into the high 80s by the time we were done, and it was hard to stay hydrated. We did a loop, again, the loops with the dogs, and then about we ended up doing in the dark with the dogs, and then another loop in the dark about 4 miles with our lights on, and brought the lights back to the house and went out for another 15 or so mile loop. And so by the time we got back to the house, we were at almost at mile 20, and so they did the last 6.2 miles in the neighborhood where I do my morning training runs. So we did two loops of 3.5, 3.8 miles to get those final loops in. And it got to be a crawl at the end. It was really, really getting hot. And my hip was starting to really, really get tight. But we got it done. And so really happy about getting it done. Felt good. And again, used bong chews and gels and water. I actually had a little Coke the last 6 miles, Coca-Cola. Have some baby Cokes at the house. And it just gives you a sugar load and a little caffeine load at the end. So not something I make a habit of taking in. They're strictly for hot, humid run days that I need a little bit of a boost. On Tuesday, which would have been, you know, the second day of our immersion week, had we had one and not had to cancel it, we had planned a practice-wide 5K to mainly celebrate one of our members' birthday and his first 5K. And we decided to go on with that virtually. So I tried a combination of Zoom, Facebook Live, Facebook Messenger. We had a couple people that walked, and we did social distancing. And actually, Hutch came in from Tampa area and did walk with him again. Another fellow from the practice doing social distancing. And it was real fun. A lot of people got involved and did their 5Ks or more while we were walking. We walked in Punta Gorda along our harbor where the sun was coming up. So I took some photographs. I posted some on Instagram if anybody's interested. But it was really nice to celebrate. Hutch won't mind me sharing, but he's lost a tremendous amount of weight. He's got rid of a lot of medications. And again, his goal is to do a marathon next spring. So really fun to see people put their head down, and he's been training really hard. So it was nice to celebrate with him. I was pretty, my hip was bothering me pretty good by the end of that. I would have taken Monday and Tuesday off, but this was a special occasion. So I'm actually having a couple rest days here, just doing a lot of mobility to try to get my hips loose. I think it's more of a probably psoas tightness, a little out of alignment, maybe some hip mobility, more miles, not enough stretching, not enough mobility, some activation that's not quite right. I'm not a Kenyan. I don't run like a Kenyan runner. So my form probably lends itself to some injury after a while. You've been trying to push the speed a little bit. So I'm paying for it a little bit, but I'm coming back and I'll work through it as well. And, it just goes to show you that you can do 3 miles if your hip hurts a little bit or you're hobbling a little bit. It wasn't my best form, but we got her in, and that's all that matters. Addie Delaney Meinrich, is in Houston. She's our registered dietitian and director of our wellness routines and wellness challenges that we do every month. She'll be speaking on Saturday, but she is now 32 weeks pregnant, and she's still doing her walking and strength training regimens with the aid of her dog Haas, and weight training with the aid of the cat Buckwheat. And you just keep doing what you can. She's not doing as much as she did, but she's keeping her exercise up, and she did the race virtually with us from Houston. Her husband, Nathan, is not working right now because University of Houston is also shut down. The football teams are all on hold. So he's been doing some really cool exercises. He has the big 5-gallon buckets that I believe he filled with sand, and a long tube before that he's been doing lunges with. He had the neighbor boys out doing wheelbarrow carries, farmer carries. He was pushing their car up and down the street to get some track in. He goes to the local track by himself and does sprints on his run days. So there's a lot you can do at home, a lot of calisthenics, and it really is important to keep that up. When we're trying to fight viruses like what's going now, it's a virus that's very contagious. It causes leaky lungs. And when the lungs, when we talk about leaky lungs, that means that there's a lot of fluid. People get this bilateral pneumonia and their tissues start to leak. It's called adult respiratory distress syndrome. And even if you just get a cold and you looked at your heart rate would go up 10, 15 points, you know, fever, your heart rate's going to go up a little higher at rest. But with this, you know, you're going to get a higher fever, your lungs, you're going to have to work harder to breathe. So people's respiration rate goes up. So their heart rate goes up even more. Your blood pressure can go up even more trying to support yourself, or it can go down. And that makes your heart rate have to go up even higher when people, when everything opens up and the blood vessels dilate and the tissues become leaky, the blood pressure actually drops. And then the heart really has to start working to put out blood and deliver oxygen and nutrients to the rest of the body. And that's when people that have underlying conditions get into trouble. People that are overweight, we know that adipose tissue makes, we know if we measure inflammatory markers, C-reactive protein, they're often elevated. They make more interleukin-6 and interleukin-3. So they have this chronic state of inflammation already. So that when they, when something like this happens, it exacerbates it. We know that platelets are a little stickier in diabetics. People that are overweight, their platelets are a little stickier. People with high blood pressure, you know, again, if their platelets are sticky or, you know, their blood pressure is high already, they've already had this underlying excess of strain on the heart. So we can, you know, be a little bit worried about arrhythmias. So, you know, the bottom line here, we want to be as healthy as we possibly can, not to fight just COVID-19, but to fight anything that comes around as a society. We need to be as healthy as we possibly can be. And so one of my talks this weekend is going to be, you know, the title is Lifespan, you know, versus Health Span. And we have the ability in this country to make people live a long time. But, you know, how many of those last years are actually healthy? And that's what I really like to talk about is that, you know, how do we make people more healthy over a prolonged period of time? When we think about lifestyle diseases, there's chronic diseases that we kind of put our head in the sand, but, you know, acute infections are something that can, you know, kill us quickly. So we have to actually be prepared for those. And, you know, again, it comes back to how do we make ourselves as healthy as possible. If somebody's taking steroids, you know, they're going to be their immune response is compromised. If you're eating a meat-based diet, then you're getting a dose of antibiotics because most of those animals were given antibiotics to try to prevent infections in the animals raised in that, you know, close quarters containment. They may have been given growth factors that also is going to cause inflammation in your body. If you're getting, you know, people talk about I eat grass-fed this or grass-fed that, but, you know, if you're still getting takeout food, I'm sorry to inform you, but it's not grass-fed. And if somebody is immunocompromised and you're going to get takeout food, you're really taking a risk. If you're not cooking for yourself during these times, you're not sure the quality of the food. You're not sure about the cleanliness of the preparation of the food. And how many people were exposed to that food before it got to you. So, you know, if you have underlying conditions, this is not the time to eat out. You know, the other thing that, you know, we talk about, are you getting enough protein? And people talk about, you know, doing protein shakes. And, you know, think shake, think milkshake, even if it's not milk-based, even if there's almond milk in it, which is just another unnecessary source of calories. If you're able to take in food and you're not sick, you should be chewing your food. Taking in protein powders is not gonna make you healthier. And a lot of the amino acids that you're going to be exposed to are amino acids that's probably going to trigger inflammation and inflammatory compounds anyway. So, you know, I wonder as we sit here and watch, you know, as COVID comes in and hopefully we'll go out soon, is COVID stimulating, you know, an immune response that's is the reason why it's so much more deadly than the regular flu appears to be at this point? You know, we're looking at a death rate in the United States of about 1.3 to 1.4% right now. As a flu, it would be like 0.6%. There are many more flu deaths. There's 8,000 flu deaths so far, just from the general flu. But it seems to be a little bit, it's easier to, it's more contagious, and it's a little bit more toxic, especially to people that have underlying health problems. And is it because it's so much stronger, or is it because the health of our population is not as strong as it should be? And I don't think anybody's really addressed that that point right now. You know, is it because we're, you know, less and less able to fight off these infections? even with, you know, any kind, the first thing that happens when you come in contact with any infectious agent is that your body puts out this blind, you know, the cavalry's called, your immune system is put into action. As we get older, the ability for our immune system to do that starts to decrease. So our first line of defense is less. So again, you know, we have to do things to increase the first line of defense. And, you know, being exposed to antibiotics and growth factors and other inflammatory things in our food, is that making, you know, things worse as well? So, yeah, you can say, well, yeah, this is a more virulent virus than a regular flu virus, just because of, you know, the percentages, you know, compared apples to apples, that more people are, you know, succumbing to this infection. But, you know, are more people succumbing to infections in general because we're not healthy? And so that's, you know, some of the things that I want to bring up on Saturday and talk a little bit more about that. I know some people are waiting for a treatment for COVID-19 or perhaps a vaccination to prevent it in general. But, I think that you need to look at your own house first and get that in order. The medications that have been proposed, nothing has been tested in a randomized controlled fashion. The chloroquine has been used on other viruses over the time. The response has been iffy at best. There are cardiac side effects to both of these medications, the chloroquine and the Zithromax. You know, people that have bad hearts or cardiac problems, there is a potential for arrhythmias, prolonged QT in both of these medications. So the thought that, oh, if I get it, I'm going to take these medications, or I know someone I can get these medications from, is not really a good idea at this point. I think that you have to pay attention to Dr. Fauci. He's an excellent clinician, and you know, we have to really be careful on these medications just to throw things at it and to try or to take things prophylactically. I would stay away from. Again, I would maximize your nutrition, vitamin C, fruits and vegetables, exercise. That's the way to maximize your immunity. And as far as vaccines, you know, I'm a little bit concerned because we're pushing the envelope. You know, I'm a little bit concerned that if we push something through too quickly, it's not going to be adequately tested. It's going to be tested on the fly. The side effects involved with that, the potential immunity that may or may not happen with that. And in the reality of it is, you know, there's no consequence. You know, it's like you sign your life away and you take this. I hope it helps. But if it doesn't, you know, it's no fault of the drug companies. And that's really how it's working right now in this situation. So, you know, still think it's the best is to, you know, we can try to remain healthy and fight this off the old-fashioned way for now. And, you know, hopefully that allow us to have enough time. This thing's going to go away as it gets hotter and in the summertime. And then, you know, adequate testing can be done and to see if there's a vaccine perhaps that's going to really be effective, or if there's a treatment that's going to be effective for certain populations. But I think, you know, to just throw things at people right up front is a little bit worrisome. The other thing I wanted to talk to and even shift gears a little bit, you know, we're going to talk about health span and, you know, high cholesterol and, you know, what does your weight have to do with all that as well? You know, people, certainly some people can lower their cholesterol easier than others, but we know that people that are overweight, there's more cholesterol stored in fat tissue than even in the liver. So, you know, one treatment of getting people's cholesterol down is actually to get their weight down, you know. So if you're eating plant-based and you're not taking in cholesterol and you're because only animal products have cholesterol, you've got your fat consumption down around 10%, but you're still overweight. Your cholesterol could still be up because you still have a lot of cholesterol in your body. So as you lose weight, you're actually going to eliminate that cholesterol. But it's, you know, it's really important to focus on getting your BMI down into a normal level. And again, you know, as we decrease the adipose tissue, then we're also decreasing our inflammatory state. the world has changed a lot over the last 30 years and what we consider normal weight, you know, but we want that BMI down under 24.9 and even a little bit less than that because we know that women tend to carry more fat. So even at a BMI at 24.9, you can still be carrying more fat than you really need to around the organs. So, you know, you can do it. You can do it. It's important to focus at your goal on getting that BMI down into the normal range. The other thing I'm going to talk about at the conference on Saturday, and I think it's really been an interesting turn, is, you know, nature versus nurture. So nature being our genetics, started out with our heredity before we knew, you know, what a gene was and how the genes interact. And certainly we're still learning, even though we have our whole, the human genome has been documented. The base pairs, all 3 million base pairs have been documented at this stage. And a lot of diseases have been shown what the gene abnormalities are for them. There's still a lot we don't know as far as the interaction with genes, between chromosomes, and between the environment and our genes and the environment and chance and other exposures. So I started out preparing for the talk as a plant-based doctor, thinking that I was going to say, you know, like we all say, you know, genes are about 10% of the equation, and, you know, your lifestyle is the other 85-90%. But I don't know that that's entirely accurate. The more that I read and the more research that I do, I think, I don't know what the percentage is, but it can certainly be swayed either way. But our environment is very, very important on how things are played out. But our genes do play a role that we don't understand. And I think a lot of therapies that are genetically based or recombinant based, again, there's a lot of trial by fire, and we're not seeing necessarily the results. Our bodies are pretty good at adapting and changing. And for us to sit back and not do anything because we're hoping for some ability to alter our genes and to change things so we're not at risk, I think is still very, very premature. But I do think there's a lot of gene-to-gene interactions that drive what microbes interact with our environment. So what microbes actually grow in our gut, what our cravings actually are, how it interacts with our feelings and our thoughts, and how all this goes together. So, I mean, it's much more complicated than any of us give credit for. You know, we can't take somebody with really bad genes and expose them to a bad environment and hope that they'll be lucky. We can't take somebody with really good genes and expose them to a really bad environment and say nothing's going to happen because they have good genes. And the more that our environments continue to evolve, you know, the more fast foods and the sedentary behaviors, how does that interact with our genes? Our bodies are adapting. So I think it's a very interesting time. You know, given the virus, you know, we're learning more and more about genetic sequencing and adding genes in and trying to correct genes and trying to control our genes. But it's also a time that we have to really stop and think that, controlling things too much might also be a big problem. So, I hope that you'll find that talk really interesting. I know I did doing the research. Sometimes I like to think things will be more black and white. And of course, the more you learn about most things in life, the more gray they become. But there's a lot of information to kind of make you think. Dr. Popper is going to have a fantastic talk, on medical testing and what does it really mean in medical decision making. You know, I think sometimes we follow our physicians and we hope that they have our best in mind. But again, physicians are biased as well, biased by drug companies, biased by insurance companies, biased by the legal, the legal system. And so, you know, it's not always, it's certainly not black and white as far as what should be done. Addie's going to round things out as well with a talk on Alzheimer's and dementias and nutrition, how that plays as well. So I think it'll be a really interesting day on Saturday. We're going to have a question and answer session at the end, so you'll be able to call in with your questions, and it should be really, really fun, be interactive. So even though we can't be together, I hope you'll take time to spend the day with us. It'd be nice to get to know you better. Right now, I just speak into this microphone and it goes out, and sometimes I hear some emails a little bit, but it would be nice to hear some voices and get some feedback, and again, see some pictures on Instagram, and make this even a more, a bigger community. I love what we're doing with the practice as far as our wellness community. I would like to extend it even more to the podcast community so that we all could benefit from learning from each other. So thanks for listening. I'm going to cut off quick today. And hope to see you Saturday. You have to go over to drdelaney.com and click on the Eventbrite link to get your tickets, or go directly to Eventbrite. It's 2020 Plant-Based Audio Conference. That's what it's going to be under. But again, if you go to drdelaney.com, you can get to that link really quick. If you have any questions at all, you can email me at jamie@drdelaney.com. If you can't get your credit card to work or whatever, it's $60. Again, you'll get the slides. You get the recipes. The audio conference will be recorded for a month, so you'll be able to listen at your convenience or re-listen if you want to hear somebody's lecture more than once. So it's a great, great venue. And again, you have the question and answer session. So I hope you go over and join us. Get your tickets, because Friday is going to be the cutoff to be able to get the slides out to everybody and get the recipes out to everybody, so you have everything for bright and early Saturday morning. So without further ado, I'll look forward to speaking with you Saturday.